RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello, listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll bring you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by press review, today in history, focus, and news in brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here's the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. Vice President Yusuf Kalla received U.S. Ambassador. Myanmar may learn democracy and pluralism from Indonesia. Now the news in detail. Vice President Yusuf Kalla received the first courtesy call from the United States Ambassador to Indonesia, Joseph Donovan, on Wednesday after the latter's credential was submitted to President Joko Widodo on January 11, 2017. After expressing his gratitude for the willingness of Vice President Yusuf Kalla to receive him, Ambassador Donovan expressed the interest of American business people to improve trade with Indonesia, particularly in the field of aviation and power generation. Besides, he said the U.S. will also step up cooperation in the field of entrepreneurship in cooperation with Indonesian Chamber of Commerce and Industry, Kadin, as a partner. Meanwhile, Deputy Secretary for Political Affairs to the Vice President, Dewi Portuna Anwar, said that Vice President Yusuf Kalla had told Ambassador Donovan that Indonesia is currently setting its focus on infrastructure sector, full self-sufficiency, and manufacturing. Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister Retno Marsudi met with Myanmar's Information Minister U Pei Myint in Jakarta on Wednesday as part of Indonesian efforts to help settle problems in Rakhine. Minister Retno said that Myanmar could use Indonesia as a laboratory to learn the process of democratization, reconciliation, and peaceful ecosystems, coexistence in a plural society. She also reiterated Indonesian commitment to keep supporting the process of democratization and reconciliation as well as inclusive development in Myanmar. Minister Retno added that as a neighboring country and common members of Association of Southeast Asian Nations, ASEAN Indonesia wishes to work together with Myanmar in dealing with the problems in Rakhine. Villages, disadvantaged regions, and transmigration minister Eko Putro Sanjoyo has said the village economy had grown by 12% in 2016, higher than national growth of 4.8%, thanks to the disbursement of the village funds. He also stated in a press statement on Thursday that although the village fund was just introduced recently, the contribution from the villages to national economic growth has been significant. The direct disbursement of the village fund has boosted economic activity in villages, as shown by increasing economic growth in the third quarter last year. Minister Eko also added that the government was strongly committed to boosting economic activities in the villages. This news is coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Foreign Affairs Minister Retno Marsudi said in Jakarta on Wednesday that she would communicate with her Sudanese counterpart Ibrahim Kandor to discuss allegations of arms smuggling by Indonesian peacekeeping force. Minister Retno also stated that Indonesia has seen dissonance in the case, hence it will send a legal team to Sudan to deal with it. Minister Retno confirmed that she would keep communicating with UN office in New York, the Indonesian embassy in Khartoum, and the city administration of Al-Fashir Airport where the incident took place. She also remarked that the government hopes that the legal team could immediately reach Al-Fashir Airport after receiving permit from the U.S. office and the Sudanese government. Deputy for Investment Control of the Investment Coordinating Board, BKPN, M. Asahar Lubi, said that China ranked second in the list of largest foreign direct investors in 2016. China has never reached that position before. Asahar views that investment from China are mostly made in the construction of smelters and power plants. He added that Reliance investment from China also include a dose of property, plantation sector and investment in accommodation sectors such as hotels. BKPN Chairman Thomas Lebon confirmed the sharp increase in investment from China. Data from the BKPN shows that China ranks second in the list of foreign direct investors, below Singapore and above Japan, the United States and Hong Kong. National Civil Society Coalition for Tobacco Control and Angkatan Muda Muhammadiyah encouraged the government to ban cigarette advertising on television. In the draft revision in December 2016, Article 62 and 142 explained that the media is prohibited to broadcast cigarettes, alcohol and other addictive substance advertising. Angkatan Muda Muhammadiyah, together with the National Civil Society Coalition for Tobacco Control, appreciate the Draft Broadcasting Commission 1 Parliament Working Committee that prohibits tobacco advertising in the media. In a press conference held in Jakarta on Wednesday, a representative of National Coalition of Civil Society for Tobacco Control, Daniel Awigra, said half of Indonesian children are active smokers. He views that broadcasting is a public frequency, thus the idea disseminated through the public frequency should be useful.
Iklan rokok ini penuh dengan manipulasi ya. Ini persis dengan apa yang saat ini sedang kita alami. Kita sekarang berada dalam
cigarette advertising is full of manipulation. This is exactly what we experience. We are now in a situation with too much information which is not accurate, or we call it hoax. Cigarette advertising is the biggest hoax. What was delivered, described, what is expressed is very different from the products offered.
Apa yang coba di katakanlah ekspresikan di sana itu berbeda sama sekali dengan produk yang ia tawarkan.
Daniel Awigra also explained, Indonesia is the only country in ASEAN that has not completely prohibited cigarette advertising on television. Based on Huhanka survey 2007, 99.7% of children see cigarette advertising on television. Global Youth Tobacco survey in 2013 showed 3 out of 5 children have seen cigarette advertisements. He hopes that the National Emergency Nicotine Addiction Protection should be comprehensive. If the promotion, advertising and sponsoring are not prohibited, protection will be difficult. South China Sea region has become important and strategy line for world countries, so the region keeps up in potential for interest conflict for countries in the region. The so stated by an observer of international relations of Indonesian Institute of Sciences LIPI, Adriana Elizabeth, to media after attending national seminar on maritime diplomacy in Jakarta on Wednesday. She further said that South China Sea dispute solution has become an extraordinary challenge for ASEAN to overcome it peacefully through maritime diplomacy.
Kita sekarang sudah mengarah ingin membangun kawasan Natuna untuk kepentingan
Indonesia
kita.
Indonesia wants to build Natuna region for its interests. In my opinion, the program to be built by Indonesia is comprehensive enough, but South China Sea has not finished on the context ASEAN. Indonesia is part of ASEAN. It has been split in a part by the case of China. South China Sea, I think it has become a big challenge for ASEAN, particularly Indonesia as one of the initiators. So I think, like or dislike, sooner or later, the issue will bring about impact on Indonesia as well. Moreover, Adriana Elizabeth also explained that all involved in countries must increase the dialogue continuously, so open conflict does not occur in the region. She said the Indonesian government really cares and pays attention to the sovereignty of Indonesia. That's news over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Hello listener, our commentary today entitled The Meeting Between President and Chairman of the People's Consultative Assembly. President Joko Widodo and Chairman of the People's Consultative Assembly MPR Zulkifli Hasan held a meeting at the State Palace in Jakarta on Tuesday to discuss the current situation in the country. This meeting is considered important following the dynamics of current conditions that tend to heat up and the simultaneous regional election next February. At the meeting, they also discussed the plan of state policy for long-term development, which stalled since the fall of New Order in 1998. In the meeting, President Joko Widodo wants the establishment of National Harmony Council to resolve the current problems in Indonesia, whether social, economic, political, and cultural aspects. He also supports the factions of the MPR in discussing the state policy aiming at national long-term development. Meanwhile, Chairman of the Assembly Zulkifli Hasan asserted the importance of Indonesian fellows in resolving the problems. He also said that during the meeting, he and President Joko Widodo agreed that Indonesia is the large family of homeland consisting of various tribes and nations. Thus, to be concerned about is the fellow citizens of Indonesia, but the dynamics of international world. Meanwhile, related to the discussion of the state policy, Chairman Zulkifli Hasan also pointed out that it takes a long time and serious discussion for the stakeholders to formulate the state policy that is appropriate nowadays. He views that the current factions of MPR are still discussing the state policy input and aspiration of the academicians across Indonesia. Meanwhile, Deputy Chairman of the People's Council Assembly, Hidayat Nur Wahid, said that the meeting between the leaders of the Assembly and the President, Joko Widodo, at the state palace in Jakarta also addressed the issue of law and justice. He emphasized that law enforcement must be fair to all problems. He also views that this step is necessary for public confidence in the legal process. Hidayat Nur Wahid added that one key to solving the problem is to practice honest values of Pancasila and unity in diversity. In addition, the dialogue forum is needed to discuss the current issues. Indeed, the dynamics of current situation continue to emerge after New Order era ended and replaced the Reform era in 1998. The lack of deliberation, which becomes Indonesian noble value and might be replaced with the Western democracy in almost every facet of life, has forced Indonesia to change its perspective. To like or dislike, the Indonesian people who are hungry for change after the fall of New Order are likely to forget the four key pillars of the nation, namely Pancasila, the Constitution 45, the Unitary Republic of Indonesia, and national unity. As a result, this has brought about changes in the political system and the economy so that Indonesian people no longer have a foundation and a program for the direction of future long-term development. Thus, re-implementing the origin of Indonesian noble values is imperative to uphold the dignity of the nation in the eyes of international community. Listener, that was commentary today, read by Rahmana.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello, listener, wherever you are, welcome back to our program Today in History. Well, we begin with an event which occurred on January 26, 1950, when the system of Indian government was changed to be republic. When the Proclamation of Independence was announced in August 1947, India did not have state constitution yet. The arrangement of the constitution took a long time and difficult due to conflict in the country between Muslims and Hindu people. Finally, in 1949, Indian constitution succeeded to be arranged, and a year later, on January 26, 1950, the system of Indian government was changed to be republic. And Dr. Rajendra Prasad was chosen as the vice president of India for 7 years. Vice president in India was only an honorary position and elected by parliament. Power to regulate the government in India is more in the hands of the prime minister, who is elected by the people. The next event was in 1952, when the World Customs Organization was established. The World Customs Organization, WCO, which was established on 26 January 1952, is an intergovernmental organization headquartered in Brussels, Belgium. The WCO is noted for its work in areas covering the development of international conventions, instruments, and tools on topics such as commodity classification, filiation, rules of origin, collection of customs revenue, supply chain security, international trade facilitation, custom enforcement activities, combating counterfeiting in support of intellectual property rights, IPR, drug enforcement, illegal weapons trading, integrity promotion, and delivering sustainable capacity building to assist with custom reform and modernization. The WCO maintains the international harmonized system, goods, nomenclature, and administers the technical aspect of the World Trade Organization, WTO, agreements on custom valuation and rules of origin. And the last event was in 2001, Gujarat earthquake, also known as the Bhuj earthquake, occurred on 26 January. At the 52nd Republic Day, India was hit by Gujarat earthquake at around 8:46 a.m. Local time lasted for over 2 minutes. The epicenter was about 9 kilometers south-southwest of village of Kobari in Bakau Taluka of Kutch District, Gujarat, India. The earthquake killed almost 20,000 people, including 18 in southern Pakistan, and injured another 167,000 and destroyed nearly 400,000 homes. Listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Hello listeners, it's nice to be with you again in our regular program Focus through our rival service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The theme of today's focus is Manpower Ministry Fusion Companies to Improve Workers' Competence in Fashion ASEAN Economic Community AEC. Manpower Minister Hanif Dakiri encourages national companies to help improve workers' competence and skill in Fashion ASEAN Economic Community AEC. This was announced by Minister Hanif Dakiri on the sidelines of Pertamina International Learning Conference, PILC, in Yogyakarta on last Thursday. He said the business sectors, including state-owned and private companies, are expected to support efforts to improve the competence of workers. He views that many challenges are faced by Indonesia and other ASEAN countries in the era of the ASEAN Economic Community, AEC. One of them is the reluctance of companies to encourage their employees to improve their competence. Because some companies still view that the development of workers is part of cost burden and alarming rise of compensation demand from the post-workers' competency improvement. He said that the government and all stakeholders, including the business sectors, think tank groups, and the general public, can cooperate to overcome these challenges. However, Minister Hanif Dakiri admitted that now he feels relieved that some companies have supported these efforts. One of the supporting companies is Pertamina, which has set an example by launching Pertamina Professional Certification Agency in 2016, on which it has now published hundreds of certificates to professionals in the energy sector, particularly on aspects of marine and health, safety, security, and environment. Minister Hanif Dakiri also remarked that the government, through the National Professional Certification Board, BNSP, will speed up the certification process for 120,000 professionals this year by involving the Professional Certification Agency throughout Indonesia. Meanwhile, Director of Human Resources, Information Technology and General Affairs of Pertamina, Dwi Wahyu Daryoto, said that the world's unlimited condition and tight competition would require companies to equip their human resources with higher skill and competencies. Thus, close cooperation among all stakeholders is crucial to address the challenges in the present and in the future, particularly in the field of human resources management. Listener, that was Focus Today, read by Rahmana. Here news in brief, read by Rahmana. Vice President Yusuf Kala received the first courtesy call from the United States Ambassador to Indonesia, Yosef Donovan, on Wednesday after the letter's credential was submitted to President Joko Widodo on January 11, 2017. Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister Retno Marsudi met with Myanmar's Information Minister Upay Mint in Jakarta Wednesday as part of Indonesian efforts to help settle problems in Rakhine. Villages, disadvantaged regions, and Transmigration Minister Eko Putro Sanjoyo has said that the village economy had grown by 12% in 2016, higher than national growth of 4.8%, thanks to the disbursement of the village funds. Foreign Affairs Minister Retno Marsudi has said in Jakarta Wednesday that she would communicate with her Sudanese counterpart Ibrahim Kantor to discuss allegations of arms smuggling by Indonesian peacekeeping force. Deputy for Investment Control of the Investment Coordinating Board, Becky Piant, M. Asahar Lubi, said that China ranked second in the list of largest foreign direct investor in 2016. National Civil Society Coalition for Tobacco Control and Angkatan Muda and Muhammadiyah encouraged the government to ban cigarette advertising on television. South China Sea region has become important and strategic line for world's countries, so the region keeps having potential for interest conflict for countries in the region. This was stated by an observer of international relations of Indonesian Institute of Sciences Lipi, Adriana Elizabeth, to media after attending national seminar on maritime diplomacy in Jakarta on Wednesday. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id. You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, it is nice to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, fine art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll invite you traveling to Central Java Province. Stay tuned. Listeners, some managers of Tourism Village and Homestay awarded the ASEAN Award 2017 in the Homestay category and Community-Based Tourism CBT Indonesia levels. The award was presented at the ASEAN Tourism Award 2017 at the Pan Pacific Hotel Singapore on January 20. The winner of the Homestay category are among others Sweden Homestay Bali, Bunga Homestay Dieng Kulon and Suheri Homestay in Central Java, Adiluhung Homestay Yogyakarta, Teratai 3 Homestay Cibuntu Kuningan West Java. Meanwhile, for the Community-Based Tourism Award entitled ASEAN CBT Award 2017 was given to the managers of the tourism villages, namely Ngangkeran Tourism Village Gunung Kidul Yogyakarta, Dieng Kulon Village Banjarnegara Central Java, and Panglipuran Tourism Village, Bangli, Bali. This award is given as a form of appreciation for the qualified tourism which directly involves the local community. Listener, today's edition of Indonesian Wonder will take you to consider one of the tourism villages that received the award, namely Dieng Kulon Tourism Village. Dieng is derived from the Sanskrit di, which means a high place or mountain, and hyang means heaven. So, Dieng means mountainous region where the gods and goddesses residing. Therefore, no wonder if the village is located at an altitude of 2,093 meters above sea level. Visiting to Dieng Kulon Village, you can enjoy a variety of natural attractions such as Telaga Balekambang, the water tourism object. Dieng Kulon tourism object is famous with a variety of famous temples that existed since the former Hindu kingdom era. Dieng Temple Object is the temple tourism site in Central Java Province, which visited by many tourists besides Prambanan and Borobudur. Dieng Temple consists of many complex areas, such as Arjuna Temple, Dwarawati Temple, Gatot Kaca Temple, and Bima Temple. The temples are located closely each other. Then there is also Sikidang Crater, that is a Solfator object located in Dieng. Listener, in addition being a natural attraction, Dieng Kulon Village also offers cultural tourism. There are agro-tourism activities and living culture of Dieng society. It is a cultural tourism where the activity, habits, and social customs of Dieng community will become interesting commodities to be visited. Following the tour package, you will stay at the Dieng typical lodging, learning wooden batik process, trekking to the Sikunir Hill, geothermal educational tours, picking typical Carica Dieng fruit, agrotourism or field trip, and outbound. There is also the cultural show of Ruatan culture. The cultural performance is a typical procession of Dieng culture, which is usually carried out at a certain period in accordance with the economic capacity of each family who has a child with dreadlocks. Listeners, those who like a challenging tour, Dieng Kulon Tourism Village also offers adventure travel. Here you can follow Flying Fox. As a tourism village, Dieng Kulon has been equipped with supporting facilities such as homestay, souvenir kiosk, parking lot, means of information, and so forth. Dieng Kulon Village is located about 55 kilometers to the town of Banjarnegara and can be reached by land transportation. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Dieng Kulon Tourism Village. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello listener, welcome back to our regular segment Miscellany. In today's edition, we will inform you about Antapani Pelangi Overpass. Listener, Antapani Pelangi Overpass in Bandung, West Java has officially opened by Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kalla and Public Works and Housing Minister Basuki Hadi Mulyono on Tuesday, January 24. The overpass that was built to overcome traffic jam in the area is very special. The unique and beautiful design with cutted colorful ceramics forms abstract ornaments. What makes it more special is that the overpass become the first model in Indonesia that use corrugated mortar busa poscatan or CMP technology. The CMP is a construction technology that was developed by the Research and Road Development of the Public Works and Housing Ministry. The technology is the development of piled mortar foam with corrugated steel structure. It also has 50% faster construction. If it compared with the steel in general, it will take 12 months to build, while CMP construction only 6 months. The overpass stretches 36 meters long, so it can be able to accommodate 8 lines of vehicles under the bridge. Another specialty of the CMP constructions that is not block the route on the location during the work in progress. Natural ingredients in CMP construction is lower than other environmental friendly concrete steel. The use of the wave steel gives good efficiency in the cost and time. Normally to build one concrete steel it takes 120 billion rupiah. But the overpass with corrugated steel system only need 35 billion rupiah budget. Before the overpass was officially opened, test drive through the bridge was opened on December 28, 2016. Then on January 1, 2017, the Pelangian Tapani Bridge has been operated. Well, listener, that was today's edition of Miscellany. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you on the next Miscellany.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another Miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listeners of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to Music Corner, which introduces you to Indonesian music, both traditional and modern ones. Listener, in today's edition, we'll present an Indonesian female pop singer. Acha, who is also an actress besides a singer, was born in Jakarta on September 1, 1989. She began her career in the entertainment world as a cover girl in 2004. Her name skyrocketed through a film, Heart, together with Nirina Zubir and Irwansyah in 2006. Not only playing movies, Acha also became a singer in the film's theme song, a duet with Irwansyah. Well, listener, let's listen to the first song entitled My Heart. Happy listening.
Biasa bersama menjalani kasih sayang, bahagia ku denganmu. Bila kita mencintai yang lain, mungkinkah hati ini akan tegar? Sebisa mungkin tak akan pernah sayangku akan hilang. If you love somebody, could we be this wrong? I will fight to win, our love will conquer all. Wouldn't risk my love even just one night. Our love will stay in my heart, my berdua di sini surga kita.
Bila kita mencintai yang lain, mungkinkah hati ini akan tegar? Sebisa mungkin tak akan pernah sayangku akan hilang.
The song My Heart tells about the story of two lovers who are in love and do not want to lose. The song was awarded a double platinum for original soundtrack in 2006. Not only in Indonesia, Acha Septriasa also popular in neighboring country, Malaysia. Even the songs that she brought, such as My Heart, Sampai Menutup Mata, and many other songs, had took the top list in many radio stations in Malaysia. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Ada Cinta by Acha featuring Irwansa.
Mendengar bisikmu
the title, the song tells about the story of their feelings of love, but the feeling is sometimes not easy to describe. The lyrics were written by using poetic words. The song is very appropriate to be performed in a duet by Acha and Irwansa. Acha, whose real name, Jelita Septriasa Minangkabau Pladi, has ever won a number of awards as the best actress in 2008, thanks to the brilliant acting in the film Love. In addition, Acha has also been nominated for Best Female of Main Character in the 2007 Indonesian Film Festival. Well, listener, to conclude today's music corner, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Sampai Menutup Mata and Berdua Lebih Baik by Acha Septriasa. Happy listening and sampai jumpa.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Yeah.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Yeah.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.